patience and persistence until due season. You know, when you are doing everything necessary for the manifestation of your dream, and you still haven't seen the results you're hoping for, it can be frustrating and discouraging, especially when you can't see anything good that would give you hope on the horizon. But this is what being a believer is all about. This is what it means when the just shall live by faith, because we walk by faith and not by what we see. We walk in belief according to the words promised to us by God, and we act on things we have no physical evidence of. This is what faith is. And we will find in life, we will do this right up until the last moment where we experience manifestation. Our whole lives will be this way most of the time. And you just have to keep acting persistently and be patient, because we live by faith. Now Hebrews 10:35-36 says, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise." Now if you read to the end of the chapter, it talks about Jesus coming again. But as you have heard me say before, Jesus is called in Revelation 19:13 the Word of God. So here's what I'm going to do. First, I'm going to read Hebrews chapter 10 verses 37 to 39 as it is. And the second time, I'm going to read from verse 35 to 39 in the context of Jesus being the Word of God. So verse 37, "For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." So now reading from verse 35 to 39 in the context of Jesus being the Word of God. Verse 35, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and the word of God that shall come will come into manifestation, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back," in other words, give up faith, "my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we," this is talking about you and I, "are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." We are of them that believe and are persistent and patient until the word promised comes to pass. Now, if you go back to the faith booster, Live by Faith, you will remember where we were discussing seed time and harvest. Now in Christian circles, we use that terminology so often that we tend to overlook something. If we just slow down for a bit, we might catch something significant about seed time and harvest. Seed, time, and harvest. Now, when you sow word of God seed, there is time in between the time you sow seed and the time of manifestation. When you plant a natural seed, you will find what happens is that seed will grow down first to establish its foundations. A seed grows roots first. When it has done that, then it grows up and comes out above the soil and you see manifestation. So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. First the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. The seed of the word of God first establishes its root in your heart. Then it grows up. If you are following me in a transcript of this recording, you will see illustrations of this. When you first plant the word in your heart, you don't see anything happen. Now, that doesn't mean nothing is happening under there. It's just that you can't see through the soil. Just like you can't see physically into the spirit realm. You don't see anything underground. But when you plant a natural seed, you know that although you can't see anything happening, a lot is going on. It's not long until you see that seed break through the ground. Once the roots of God's word seed are firmly established, it starts growing upward. You may have a vision or a dream you are diligently working towards, and you start to see little breaks above the soil, just a little leaf forming, and that gives you hope. Parts of it start coming together. The stalk grows longer, leaves sprout. You still haven't seen any fruit, but you can see things are coming together. And you start to meet the right people, or a book with the right information crosses your path. Then eventually, everything comes together and the fruit of the word of God comes to pass. There is a very elaborate process involved. Now, some things are established quickly when you already bear fruit in other areas. Just like you take a leaf from another plant which is already established and plant that leaf, the process can be quicker. But there is still a process involved, and we need to be patient and persistent in our efforts. We must water the seeds we sow, but we must also keep faith that the soil will do its job. You don't dig up the seed of frustration that you don't see anything happening. Often the point where people are about to give up is the point where they are on the edge of breaking through. Faith needs work to work. So keep working in love, because faith works by love. Eventually things start coming together, but you have to appreciate the fact that good things take time to create. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. There could be a few things in the way of something being a blessing with no sorrow with it, which must be removed, which could take time. Or sometimes the actual process just needs time to produce what we want at the standard we desire it to be. For example, everyone knows the gestation period for having a baby is about 9 months. Now, you don't get angry at God if you or your spouse, your mother, or your sister, or whoever is expecting a baby if after 3 months the baby still hasn't come yet. Nobody wants a baby in 3 months. That's not a blessing. That is called a problem. A baby that comes out in 3 months is undeveloped and won't survive the environment here. There is a good reason it takes 9 months. If you have a garden where you grow things and you plant seeds in the ground, you don't go out to look at the progress the very next day and get ticked off because nothing has grown yet. Now, why is that? Because you understand and respect the fact that there is a process which takes time. Now, we need to give the same respect to God's words as we do for God's plants and any other natural processes. Now, most people underestimate how much time it takes for word seed to manifest, and they underestimate how much of themselves is required to make it happen. Everything started in seed form requires time for its process to bear fruit. We live in this society of instant gratification, and it has made us terribly impatient. Everything is instant. Instant coffee, fast food, you name it. Everything is now, now, now. Everything is being made faster and faster, from cars to internet download speed. Popcorn is quick, but even popcorn takes a while. When you put popcorn in the microwave, there is still a 20-second period where nothing happens. The bag is still flat and you don't hear anything pop. But you don't storm off, switch off the microwave, throwing a tantrum. Why won't anything work for me? You don't, do you? That would be ridiculous. Or maybe you do, I don't know. But you and I both know if you stick around long enough and just let it run its course, you will experience the results you want and you'll be eating your popcorn. If you be patient for a couple of minutes. Now, the cooking of popcorn is a bit like Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 to 36. For once you have done the will of the popcorn manufacturer and have followed their instructions, you have need of patience, that once you have set the microwave for 2 minutes, you might receive the popcorn. Don't lose confidence if after 20 seconds the bag is still left flat. If you will but wait 2 minutes, you shall surely have your popcorn. My point here is be patient with God and give His word a chance to work. Get the word in your heart, meditate it, believe it, and in due season, when God sees the time is right, it will happen. If you believe according to His word, then don't give up saying, okay, maybe it ain't God's will. Listen, if you see it's in the word, it is His will. So stick with it. It will come to pass. You can't be double-minded. Be fully persuaded that what God promised, He is able to perform. Not only is He able, He wants to do it for you, as He is not a respecter of persons. And what He says to all. There is a process. When you understand and appreciate that process is there for a good reason, just like the time it takes to have a baby, when you understand and respect it, you qualify yourself to experience anything you want in life. Be confident God will perform His word. His integrity means so much to Him. It's so important. He is sensitive and cares about His word and that people respect it. In truth, according to Psalms 128 verse 2, He magnifies His word to you higher than His own name. Therefore, He will do everything in His power to see to it that His word comes to pass for you. And He loves you so much, and He wants to give you what He promised you. He doesn't hold back anything from them that love Him, but He also wants to give it to you at the right time, so it will be the most beneficial for you. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and He adds no sorrow with it. When His word manifests for you, it will be sorrow-free. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak. And not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love, patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? In order to make His word, which we believe in, come to pass, God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I hope you're following me in the transcript, because you can see the places in the Bible where those scriptures came from. The reason why I don't always mention where scriptures are is because it's nice to just hear what the word says without breaking the flow telling you where I found it. You can just see for yourself where they are in the transcript. I hope you don't mind. I just prefer to listen to the words of God and enjoy them, knowing that He had me in mind when He spoke those words. He was making a personal promise to me. I just imagine He was speaking to me personally when He had them recorded. And I pray that you experience the same thing too. Aren't the words of God encouraging? It's comforting to know that He is with you and for you. He is rooting for you. He is a player on your team doing work behind the scenes so you can reach your dream. You know, I just love to meditate on His word because I know when God says something, He means it. And He refuses to let you down. He would rather die than not keep His promise to you. He will sacrifice His own interests just to make what He promised you be fulfilled when you ask Him to do what He promised. And that is just so reassuring to know. When you are about to take a big leap of faith, when you feel impressed by God to do something, you move out of your comfort zone into the comfort zone of the Lord who will not fail you. Where would you rather be? After a while, when you become accustomed to trusting God in everything, you will find yourself feeling comfortable taking leaps of faith in obedience to God when there is no physical evidence that you will land on your feet. But when God promises, if you obey Him, you will come out smelling like roses, that you will be blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going in, blessed going out. All the work of your hands are blessed, so everything you do will prosper. The defeat of your enemies is guaranteed. You are the head, not the tail, above only, not beneath. It really empowers you to believe in the impossible being possible with God, and it puts your work ethic on steroids. Once you go into the desert, there is no going back. And when you can't go back, the only thing you need to be concerned about is the best way to keep moving forward. You already predetermined, I am coming out of this stronger than I've ever been, with my dream no longer being a dream, but my experience in reality. If you recall from the Faith Booster Overcoming Fear, you will recall the analogy I used about your dream being a baby, which is in a burning building. Your objective is to get your baby out of the building to safety, which is symbolic of the manifestation of your baby safety in the physical, visible world. And as long as it remains in the building, unmanifested in the spiritual, unseen world, it isn't safe. Now, to get your baby from danger into safety, or your dream from the unseen world into visible reality, you are going to have to work tirelessly, demonstrating an unrelenting, diligent, unparalleled, unsurpassable, persistent work ethic. You have to refuse to be outworked by anyone or anything trying to stop you getting your baby into safety. You have made the firm decision that you are not coming out of that building without your baby, and you refuse to relinquish that pursuit. You are so determined that you will come out with your baby that you would rather die with your baby than come outside without it. That is how passionate you are about your dream. That is my definition of a work ethic on steroids. And this is my attitude about things. And I have to be this way because I've noticed something. It's not about what other people will let me have. It's all about and only about what I want. It's not about who does what better than me. It's all about what I want. There are people that are more intelligent than me, funnier or better looking. There are people who have better connections to the right people. There are those born with silver spoons in their mouths. And there are those who are more talented. Although I myself am talented, even if I wasn't, it wouldn't make much of a difference. Why? Because I have decided no matter what advantage anyone has over me, no matter what, when I want something, I will have it. There is only one thing I can say is different about me, and that is that I am not afraid to die looking stupid. If you stand in my way when I'm trying to accomplish something, there are only two things that can possibly happen. Either you're giving up first, or I'm going to die. It's really that simple. So if you try and stop me doing anything, I'm either going to win or I'm going to die. But I am not giving up first. I would rather die and look stupid than give up, because if I give up, I have let you win. So you are either going to have to give up and let me win, or I'll die and you're going to jail for murder. You're not going to outwork me. That's not an option available to you, because it is impossible to outwork me. I will not be outworked, period. The guy who is willing to put in the most effort is the guy who will win, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand, stand. And with Christ strengthening me, it's gain over for any opposition. I'd like to take a moment to share a personal experience with you. I did karate as a child, and when I was about 7 years old, my family moved to Indonesia, and when we got settled in, I joined a karate class. Now, karate was completely new to me, so when I got my uniform, I was given a white belt. And if you don't know, white belts are given to beginners, and I'm sure you know that a black belt is the top belt. Then if you really want to take it further, you can go up into levels that they call dans. Now, I think the order of the colors in my particular class was white, yellow, orange, green, red, purple, brown, and black. Don't hold me to that, but that's what I think it is, and I think I'm quite accurate. So anyway, in the class I was in, they taught the first four belts, white, yellow, orange, and green. And I remember this one time, the sensei, which is basically the teacher, said that we are going to have a competition. And what we had to do was face the floor and balance on the balls of our feet and our knuckles on rock hard tile floor. And you had to keep your arms and your legs straight. If you bent them, you were disqualified. Now, the competition was to see who could remain in this position the longest. Well, I decided I was going to win this competition. I didn't care that I was still a white belt, while others were more advanced than me or older, I was going to win. So after about 5 minutes, you could hear the agony and the pain starting to set in. People were growling and giving up, literally collapsing on the floor, shaking their hands that were in pain and turned red. One by one, the white belts dropped out, until I was the last remaining white belt. Then the yellows and the oranges started dropping out, and there were only green belts left and myself, a white belt. Now, by this time, my hands were not red, but literally purple, which means the blood in my fists had no oxygen. But I didn't care. I made a decision. I'm winning. Now, for a good while, nobody was budging, and I was really feeling uncomfortable. And then there was a glimmer of hope. Green belts started dropping out. They all dropped out. All except one, this boy called James, and he was a green belt, three belt grades above me, and he was the best in the class. And I had the same attitude as I do now. I didn't say this out loud, but this is what I was thinking. James, either you're giving up first, or my arms are going to drop off. Now, I admit, he was a strong-willed individual. Eventually, he began moaning, but I was silent. And the sensei said to him, "You're not going to let a white belt beat you, are you?" And he gave out a loud moan and continued, and it went quiet. Then his arms collapsed underneath him. He gave up, and I jumped up. I had won. Now, if he went on for another half an hour, I would have won, because I decided I'm gonna win. And that is exactly what happened. I would have it no other way. Persistence prevails over talent, strength, connections, and resources every time. I shared my experience with you, not to bring glory to myself, but because you can learn a lesson from a determined 8-year-old who decided he would win a competition. And that lesson is this. There is immense power in making a choice on which you will not compromise. You cannot be stopped. You always win. Anything in your way must either conform to your decision or it will be destroyed. And this is what happens when you have decided you will have something. Now, although the method of getting there may alter, the something you want stays the same. You don't detour to settle for something else. You only detour when something comes up in the direction you are going. When it won't move, you move around it, and by doing that, you defeat it in order to get what you want, because you decided you will have what you want. All things will bend and change to fit the idea you have in your mind. If the world says 1 + 1 = 2, and I want it to be 4, then 4 is what it will be. It doesn't have the choice to be anything different, because I decide what it will be. Not it. 1 + 1 = 2 when you accept that 1 + 1 = 2. 1 + 1 will be whatever you want it to be. And the Lord said, "This they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do." This is the power contained in making a decision. Rather than feeling that you are affected by things just by wanting what you want, you become the cause of all the effects in your environment. Just decide who you are and what you want, and from that point, everything in the universe conforms to bring about the manifestation of the idea in your mind. You can create whatever you want to create. Just believe it. If thou canst believe, all things are possible. Put your mind to it, study it, learn the patterns, take the actions, and you will be who you choose to be, because we as mankind are what we choose to be. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. This is why I don't worry about people who do things better than me. I have something most people don't: solid work ethic. I will not be outworked by a person or circumstance. This is the only difference between me and the average person. People are better than me at so many things, but I learnt this golden nugget of wisdom very young. Success is no respecter of talent, ability, looks, charm, or anything else. Success only respects work. Hard work. There is an abundance of evidence of this in society today. A lot of celebrities we see are not half as talented as people who we know personally. And we wonder how they got where they are while the person we know hasn't. And the reason is success will not allow you to get to it without work. Success has all sorts of things blocking it. It doesn't let talented people get to it. It only lets hard-working people get to it. Hence why you only see talented people, which are hard-working, who ever experience success. It's almost as if success has an ego and it wants to be appreciated. Success knows that people appreciate things which didn't come easily more than anything else. The people willing to do anything within the boundaries of righteous actions to be with success are the only ones who you see with it. Success will test you to see if you are worthy of it. So if you want success, be aware of what is required. The circumstances you have in your life now are the results of your past thoughts and actions manifested. In order to usher in the manifestation of a different environment, your thoughts and actions will have to be the appropriate ones to manifest the particular environment you desire. You cannot implement these thoughts and actions once and expect the environment you want to be your reality. With consistent thoughts and actions over a period of time, you will have what you want. When people ask me if I think everybody has what it takes to be successful, at whatever they want, I always say if you have the ability to acquire a habit, you have the ability to be successful. Because the only difference between successful people and the rest of the world are their habits. If a successful person wants to stop being successful, they just need to change their habits. If somebody wants to be successful and isn't yet, they just need to change their habits, and their external circumstances will change according to the habits they exhibit. Now, the most common habit among the successful is the inability to recognize defeat and will not give up until they get what they want. Be sure to note that success doesn't happen overnight. Although it looks like it was that way for some people, success is a process. When you have a plan, stick with it until fruition. That's what Habakkuk chapter 2 is about. Even if you don't get what you want the first time, continue to believe. Keep the mission and the goal the same, but try a different method until you find something effective. If at first you don't succeed, try again another way. Your first idea isn't always the best. Keep moving your eye on the prize and keep moving in the right direction. And by that, I mean keep moving in the ethical direction, which is most effective in bringing you success. You are valuable, and so is what you bring to the table. Knowing that this is true, keep pressing forward and you will see fruit from the seeds you have sown. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth onto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Feel encouraged when you find you keep bumping into things and people that contribute to making your dream become your experience. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Whatever you are after, it's only likely to happen when you have decided you will stop at nothing to have it. Life gives to you everything you give to it. Life reflects your actions. This is why it is more blessed to give than to receive, because what you receive is what you gave in the first place. What you can give in contribution to this world is what determines how blessed you really are. Life is a reflection of your actions. When you see another person is blessed, don't think about what they have. Think about what they gave to have those blessings. Often we want what other people have, but aren't willing to do what they did to get it. If there was only one thing I wanted you to get from this, it's this. Refuse to give up. I say this because, as I mentioned before, above all the traits which successful people possess, the most important is the ability to persevere. Successful people don't see rejection or failure as the vast majority of people do. The common herd of people see rejection as a sign that they should quit while they are ahead. They see it as a sign to go back to towing the line of mediocrity and accept that as their lot in life. The view of the successful individuals like you and I is that rejection is target correction. Much like a space shuttle on its route to its target, it spends most of its time having to readjust its course in order to land where planned. Rejection to successful people is just a learning experience and nothing more. It is a temporary inconvenience. Failure is a detour and not a dead end. The reason successful people succeed more than most is because they fail more than most, shooting for success. Perseverance is the key. As much as you believed you're supposed to succeed and that you are the one who determines your results in life by the efforts you make, you can be motivated and inspired, but until you make perpetual efforts in perseverance, all the motivation and inspiration and empowerment in the world will be of no help to you. Failure and rejection are the fertilizers that make the crops grow. Yes, they stink, but with them present, the crops grow better than grass without fertilizer. Perseverance lets you take the stench and the yuck of the fertilizer and grow because of it. So keep going until your opponents, whether people or circumstances, give up. God is with you, and you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. With God, no thing is impossible to you. Believe in your Father God, who thinks more highly of you than you do. He created you, and as your manufacturer, knows the full measure of accomplishment you are capable of with his assistance. Whatever you have conceived to do, you can achieve when you decide you will have what you want. I'll see you next time.